FCS fans nation. Nope, you don't see Matt, you don't see Kyler, but you do see Jamie Williams. So good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to try something new here today. I'm going to go through my ballot for the top 25 and give some explanations on some of these teams. Won't take too long, hopefully no more than 10 or 15 minutes, but we'll see how it goes. I'm just going to talk to myself, but if you have questions or comments, please feel free to share them in the comments below, especially on YouTube, on Twitter, anywhere you can reach out and share your questions, comments, or thoughts. I would love to know what you think about this format here. Is this something I should continue? Should I continue each week looking at my ballot every other week, explaining some of my decisions? I'm going to try that today, see how it goes. As you can see up on the screen, I do have the ballot that I submitted on Sunday. I think the easiest part, number one, North Dakota State. But right away, we get into a little change where I've had some questions. I have moved Montana ahead of South Dakota State. And I know a lot of people think, well, South Dakota State lost to a Power 5 team. How could you move them down? And it was a combination of a few things. One, South Dakota State, that offense is supposed to be one of the best offenses in the FCS, and they couldn't get anything going against Iowa. Now, Iowa is probably a top 15 to 20 FBS defense. So you can't really shame the Jackrabbits, but the hype was there. And to take two safeties, and that's all you could get on offense was a field goal. Not very good. Defense looked wonderful. But coming into the season, Montana and South Dakota State were close to me. And Montana looked really good. Just a much lesser opponent, but they did what they were supposed to do. They shut them out. That defense looks elite, top-notch FCS. So, at least for this week, Montana slides just slightly ahead of South Dakota State. So that's the kind of the first explanation, the first question point that you could kind of see. Montana State stay right where they are at 4. Now, the next few, that's where it gets tough. Starting around 5, and you want to sit there and look and think, 5? You don't have the 5th best team? No, I really don't. But for now, it's going to be Villanova and Sacramento State at 5 and 6 because of how they looked. They took care of opponents they're supposed to take care of. East Tennessee State at number 7 did the same thing. They played a Division II team. So we don't really know what they're about this year, but they're gonna hang right there. At 8, we have Missouri State. They beat a pretty good Central Arkansas team, but that team has some questions. Jason Shelley is one of the better quarterbacks in the country. That offensive line is not good. Saw some holes in the defense. So I couldn't justify putting them at 5. So that's why they're sitting at 8. I want to see them against some more competition. They did at least play a good opponent in their first game, but let's see a little bit more from that team. Now, number 9. I know when we did our 1 through 130 podcast, I told you I had Jackson State at number 24, and I didn't see them going past about 15 to 18 this year. One game changed my mind. That team is way different than last year, and by way different, I mean way better. That offensive line has improved. The defense is stifling, and Shedeur Sanders picked up right where he left off. He should be in the conversation for the Walter Payton Award all season. I was just so impressed watching them just dismantle FAMU, who I thought was a pretty good team and probably still will be a pretty good team. But as of right now, Jackson State looks head and shoulders above anybody else in the SWAC and basically the FCS. Outside of a few teams, I'm not sure who actually beats Jackson State head-to-head. So be interested to watch them the rest of the way. I've got UT Martin at number 10. Again, just the team came in, did their thing, did what they needed to do. Delaware at 11. That's a big move for me. Move them all the way up there. But the defense is exactly what I expected. They only allowed 7 points to an FBS team. And they scored 14, which means they beat an FBS team. It is Navy. They run the triple option. Got some questions around the triple option right now. So we'll see how teams that run that triple option progress. And you'll, as you can see, Kennesaw State, one of the teams that does that, does not appear in the ballot. Just was not impressed with them, and we'll talk about that a little while later. But Delaware, I think they deserve to be up here. Knocking on the door of the top 10, and if people have them in the top 10, won't get any argument from me because I think they looked exactly what I thought they might look like, especially with Nolan Henderson back. Got some weapons, added Chandler Harvin to go alongside on the other side of Thyrick Pitts, and they'll always run the ball, they'll always play strong defense. So look out for Delaware and the CAA. We've been talking about that a little bit. Northern Iowa, they stayed about where they were. Lost to a FBS team. Same with UC Davis and Southeast Louisiana. So those teams kind of just stayed right around where they were, based on what other teams did. Number 15, Eastern Washington gutted out a really nice win against Tennessee State. They were up, had a rain delay. Tennessee State fought back. And if you haven't seen the catch that Efton Chisholm made to put the Eagles ahead, hat tip, by the way, to the Eagles, take a look at that play. That was a great play. Sports Center top 10 worthy. So hats off to the Eagles. They come up to number 15. Chattanooga at 16. Just another day, another dollar for them. Incarnate Word, we're going to talk a little bit about them. They were way out of my rankings when I did the 1 through 130. If you remember, they are around 40, if I can remember. You can go back and check me. I actually honestly don't remember myself. But they're up to number 17 this week. And if some voters have them higher, doesn't bother me. That team looked phenomenal. I know we've hit it ad nauseum. We thought that team would struggle without Cam Ward and Coach Morris. We thought Lindsey Scott was okay, but not nearly on the level of Cameron Ward, and maybe he's still not, but this past weekend he was. 6 touchdowns, well over 300 yards, led the command of that offense. Incarnate Word looks really good, and when you take a look at their schedule, there's not a lot of toughness there. They do have an FBS game this week. They'll play Southeast Louisiana. They'll play Nichols, but this looks like a team that could really go somewhere this year, so keep your eye on them. They had a big overtime win in the first round of the playoffs last year against Stephen F. Austin. So keep your eye on them as we go through the year. And another few teams to keep an eye on come next, starting with the next team that beat an FBS team. That's William & Mary. The Tribe went down to Charlotte, and I know Charlotte is not a good team. But when you beat an FBS team that bad, it doesn't matter who they are, you've done something. And William & Mary went there and dominated that game. They ran for over 300 yards. They threw the ball effectively. They worked in some great schemes on offense, using two quarterbacks at times. Their defense is led by Nate Lynn, is really tough against the run. They've got guys on the back end who can pick the ball off. And in all the time we're talking about William & Mary, I never even mentioned Bronson Yoder, who ran for over 100 yards himself and is the leader, one of the leaders of that offense. Watch out for the Tribe. They're really going to give you a challenge in the CAA this year. A CAA that looks really deep, as we'll find out as we continue to go through these rankings, and you've seen a couple of teams already appear. Number 19 is a team I really like this year's Mercer. They did easily win their first game against a team they should have beaten easily, Moorhead, and they took care of business there. They did lose to FBS Auburn this past week, but don't penalize them for that. They move up to 19 from my original 23. This looks like it could be a playoff team with that run game, and with Fred Payton managing the pass game the way he has, he can make plays when he needs to with his arm. So look out for Mercer. Got an emerging defense. Isaac Dowling, excellent linebacker to leading that team. They've got good linebackers, got good front line. That's a good team. They're going to compete in the SoCon, and hopefully we'll be correct that they'll get their first playoff bid this year. At number 20, Richmond. We know they lost to an FBS team in UVA, but still very high on this team in the CAA. I picked them to win it. I'm going to stay with that pick, although I've seen a couple of CAA teams, honestly, looked a little bit better, but then again, we're not going to overreact in 1 week. That's always the key. 21, Weber State did what they needed to do against a Division II opponent. Do not penalize Weber State for having to schedule this D2 opponent. When James Madison went to the FBS, that left a hole in Weber's schedule, and at that time, the only thing they could fill it with was a D2 game. They did what they needed to do. They sit at 21. Looking for good things from them this year in the Big Sky, so we'll see how they progress. Holy Cross, sitting still at 22. I didn't feel the need to move them up just because other teams looked better. They did pick up their win, but other teams looked better. 23, I got Rhode Island. Rams look really good, taking care of Stony Brook. High expectations coming out of that group this year in Kingston. So be interesting to see if they can match those expectations. As long as they stay off the Patriots' plane, they'll probably be okay. Rams potentially could be a playoff team, as well as 24 New Hampshire. Coach McConnell, Sean McConnell, has retired Ricky Santos, who was one of the best quarterbacks that they've had throughout their long storied history, is now the head coach. That team picked up a win over Monmouth in week one, looked very good doing it, so they slide in the rankings at 24. And at 25, probably get some questions, but I think Southern Illinois is still a top 25 team. I know they got their butt kicked. They're on thin ice, though. If they don't look very good, even if with a win this next game, maybe they drop out. So we'll see. So talk about a few teams who dropped out and who might be up and coming to be knocking on the door. Obviously, you don't see Stephen F. Austin. You don't see Kennesaw State. Their performances, to me, weren't good enough. And I'll bring up Stephen F. Austin again in a little bit. But Kennesaw, I'm very, very concerned about that team. I didn't think the new rule about the cut block was really going to be that big a deal. Looking at the triple option teams, it looks like it is that big a deal. So I am going to take a wait-and-see approach on Kennesaw. I did drop Dartmouth out because the Ivy League didn't play, and you don't deserve a spot in here if you're not going to play. Once they get a few games under their belt, if they look as good as I think, then they'll slide back in. But I'm going to reward teams that have played and won. And, you know, this ballot will obviously adjust week after week. A couple teams right on the cusp that weren't in the ballot last week for the preseason. Campbell looked really good against the Citadel. They'll get a big chance to test themselves against William & Mary. Samford, they're right on the outside looking in with their big win against Kennesaw. Again, taking the wait and see on Kennesaw. I'm going to take the wait and see on Samford as well. That front seven, phenomenal. Very disciplined in stopping the triple option. Didn't make Xavier Schaefer look very good at all. But they do have questions in the secondary, and you saw it in a couple plays. Breaking in a new quarterback, he played exceptional. Jay Stanton's a good running back. They had a receiver whose name escapes me, had a big day. So Samford's right there on the outside looking in. And obviously you could probably talk about 5 or 10 more teams that are on the outside looking in, but we'll save that for another time. I don't think that there's too many that I'm going to highlight right now that can get in there, but those are the next teams that I see coming, and we'll see what happens there. Now for a little segment that I'm going to call On Second Thought. So obviously, I have to put this ballot together between the end of the games on Saturday and have it submitted to the review by noon on Monday. I actually submitted mine Sunday late at night. But I'm going to call this segment On Second Thought because I'm going to talk about a couple of teams that, as I look at my ballot, teams that I have on the ballot, teams I left off, where do I think I might have made a mistake? And I have highlighted two in my mind. The first one is UC Davis. I have them at number 13. Probably a little high on them. I need to see a little bit more from them. So they'll probably see just a rank adjustment next week. Maybe they'll get back to 13. I don't think they're the number 13 team as I step back and review what I did. So probably a mistake on my part there. But Coach Hawkins is a good coach. And maybe in a couple weeks, I won't have the second thought, but for now, I do have the second thought about UC Davis, and we'll see. The other team is Stephen F. Austin. I dropped them completely out of my top 25. They played two games already. They got stomped by Jacksonville State, and then they had to win in comeback mode against Alcorn this past weekend. So their struggles had me drop them. But at the same time, Jacksonville State is a transitioning team from FCS to FBS. They have more scholarships. And we talk about it. And just last week, there was a lot of debate of should Jacksonville State have been eligible for the ASUN title after the conference came out and said, guess what, they're not. They've got more scholarships. After, you know, walking back something they had put out previously, I don't think they thought about football. So they walked that back out. And there's a lot of discussion about that. And the more I think about it, you almost have to treat them as an FBS team, and you wouldn't drop a team as much when they lose to an FBS team. So why do we do that to SFA? And I think that was partly because we didn't really view Jacksonville State completely as an FBS team, and we thought SFA was one of those teams that was on the rise and ready to have a big year, and we've kind of punished them for it. And then they didn't look great against Alcorn. So I kind of feel like instead of Southern Illinois at the 25, maybe I should have left Stephen F. Austin in there. We'll see again how that goes. It's only 1 week, so playing a lot of wait and see, but this is what I see right now. Any questions or comments, please drop them in the comments section. Hit me up on Twitter. Any other way you can think to find me, I'll be glad to respond. But also let me know what you think about this recap. Is it something I should keep doing? Maybe I will. If the response is bad, maybe I won't. So thank you for listening in. Obviously part of the FCS Fans Nation Network. Subscribe on YouTube, wherever you listen. Hit that like, hit that subscribe button, leave a comment. Listen to all of our other podcasts that we have on the channel, from the main FCS Nation podcast that you usually see me on. We've got Cocky Nation. We've got Jackrabbit Illustrated. Fight on Montana is our newest one. Cocky Nation, Around the A-Sun. The Wax Sun that actually replaced Around the A-Sun. I'm just rambling on at this point, but you get the point. Any kind of content you want, you can find on FCS Nation Network, Fans Nation Network. Look us up. Hit the subscribe, and I'll see you next time. Boom.
Thank you for listening to the FCS Fans Nation podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast on your preferred listening platform, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Google, or even YouTube. And make sure to follow our FCS Fans Nation social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you for listening to the premier podcast for FCS football. Boom.